Good afternoon, 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Joshua Grandison.
Senator McConnell is one of the least popular senators in the entire country by his own voters. So there's problem number one for him.
Emily's List President Stephanie Shriock claims Mitch McConnell has an uphill battle to keep his Senate seat this fall.
A Martin County man is now being charged in that fire Saturday that killed three persons near Inez.
And the National Forest Service has proposed more logging in the Daniel Boone National Forest.
In sports, the UK Wildcats have found their gunslinger.
But Luke has the stocks.
Isolated showers and thunderstorms possible tonight. Low in the 60s. The complete forecast is coming up. But first, this news.
Police have charged a 41-year-old man with three counts of murder following a fire near Inez early Saturday morning. Held in the Big Sandy Detention Center is Jack Smith of Martin County. He's accused in the deaths of 8-year-old Trinity Maynard, 42-year-old Tina Goebel, and 47-year-old Kaney Johnson. They died when their home on Upper James Lane went up in flames. Neighbor Nick Goebel spotted the fire and attempted to help. However, he tells WYMT it was to no avail.
I tried to go in. I couldn't. So I took a cinder block and knocked the air conditioner out of the window of the little girl's room to try to pull her out, but she wasn't in there.
Police say all the victims were found inside the house. Their bodies were sent to the state medical examiner's office for autopsies.
Huntington Fire Chief Carl Eastham says a fire at an apartment building was deliberately set. Eastham tells the Herald-Dispatch that authorities have detained two people for questioning. The fire at the three-story structure was reported around 6:20 this morning. The building was evacuated and firefighters contained the fire to one apartment. No one was injured. Eastham says investigators determined that the blaze was arson. He says another fire occurred outside the complex earlier today. Smoke damage was reported throughout the building.
Remains found in a remote area in Rowan County August 3rd have now been positively identified as a man from Grosse Pointe Park, Michigan. Kentucky State Police say Thomas Ray James had been missing for 10 years and was identified through dental records. Troopers say James was 50 years old at the time of his disappearance. Several weeks after he was reported missing, his vehicle was found at a rest area in Rowan County. The case remains under investigation, but no foul play is suspected.
Rowan County's attorney is joining the growing chorus of prosecutors around the state who are urging the legislature to make changes to House Bill 463. Signed into law in 2011, its goal is to reduce overcrowding and the cost of housing inmates at state prisons and county jails by putting nonviolent drug offenders through diversionary programs. However, Cecil Watkins says it's putting many of them back on the street faster, where they are continuing to commit crimes.
Additionally, it has made some felonies misdemeanors now, and it puts a burden back on the counties to jail these people and more of a cost to the counties. Don Hall does a good job, but we're still having to bear more of the burden than the state used to bear.
Rowan County spends $1.1 million a year to supplement its jail budget. The county's detention center has 78 beds, but generally holds over 100 inmates per month. Officials say most of their crimes are drug-related in some way.
An official with the state court system says thousands of Kentucky veterans or active duty military have run afoul of the law over the past 4 years. Tara Clute says that's when her office began tracking military status prior to criminal prosecutions. Clute is head of the statewide pretrial services program for the administrative office of the courts.
Since we started collecting the information in 2010, we have identified over 25,000 veterans arrested. And pretrial only deals with people that are arrested in Kentucky jail. So there's other veterans that are involved in the court system that are cited or civil cases, but we deal with those that are arrested and charged with a crime.
Clute says when someone is arrested, the person is asked whether they're active duty military or a veteran and whether they've been in combat. She says with the person's permission, that information is then turned over to a Veterans Justice Outreach Coordinator to determine if the individual is eligible for assistance. Klute says some counties offer diversion programs for veterans accused of low-level or misdemeanor offenses.
Morehead State President Wayne Andrews says with the state expected to continue cuts for higher education, the Kentucky legislature needs to act on reforming the Commonwealth's tax codes. Citing a report from an independent think tank in Berea, Andrews says doing so would remove much of the current stress on the state's budget by creating $1 billion in annual revenue.
If we don't have tax reform to help us deal with pensions, Medicaid, all of those issues, prisons, the many, many things we face, we're going to continue to see a decline in general fund appropriation coming to the university. That's a serious, serious challenge to the fiscal health of all higher education in Kentucky.
Back in the late 90s, the state covered about two-thirds of the cost of educating a student at Morehead State. Repeated cuts in recent years have completely reversed those figures. According to Andrews, without more revenue, schools like MSU will have to make some difficult choices moving forward.
House Majority Leader Rocky Adkins says he doesn't agree with comments made last week by a veteran Democratic state representative about the coal industry, but there's no reason for that lawmaker to resign. The Rowan County Democrat was asked about remarks offered last Thursday by Tom Burch of Louisville. In a speech to the Louisville Forum, Burch said Kentucky would benefit if we could get coal out of the way. The following day, Republican State Representative Tim Couch called for Burch to step down. Adkins tells Inside Cable's Pure Politics he and most of his Democratic colleagues don't agree with Burch, but everyone is entitled to an opinion.
I think that was an individual statement that Representative Burch made. I don't think that was any reference of the caucus as a whole or our Democratic members as a whole. And I think most of us are on really publicly have stated in the past our position on coal and the importance of coal. So, no, I'm not concerned about that.
Burch chairs the House Health and Welfare Committee. He's been a member of the Kentucky legislature for 38 years.
The president of a national organization devoted to electing pro-choice women to office says Mitch McConnell has a big obstacle to overcome if he's to win another term in the United States Senate this fall. Stephanie Sheehock says Emily's List. She analyzed the contest between the incumbent Republican Mitch McConnell and Democrat Alison Lundgren Grimes Sunday on C-SPAN's Newsmakers program. Sheehock says McConnell is generally unpopular in Kentucky, but especially among women.
You can see by the polling, we are dealing with a race that is incredibly close, and it is one of many races that's going to be decided by women voters. And the gender gap in Kentucky is already at 18 points, which is an incredible number, particularly since the electorate of Kentucky is 53% women.
Sheehock claims Grimes has a solid record on women's and family issues and a visionary job development plan.
Gas prices continue to fall in Kentucky. According to the website KentuckyGasPrices.com, the average cost for regular unleaded fuel in Kentucky today is down a penny from a week ago. Today's average price is $3.41. Costs are slightly lower around eastern Kentucky. In Morehead, the lowest cost is $3.36. It's $3.29. In Mount Sterling and Maysville, $3.34 in West Liberty, $3.35 in Ashland, and $3.42 in Grayson. Kentucky's lowest price for gas is in Oak Grove, where it's $3.14. The highest is Louisville. It's $3.94 there.
Ashland's vice mayor says the city has displayed a strong commitment to public safety by hiring 14 new firefighters over the past 2 months. Kevin Gunderson says the fire department has experienced a wave of retirements, but city commissioners are not reducing the force through attrition. He says Ashland hasn't laid off a firefighter or police officer for 50 years.
The fact of the matter is, while other cities have furloughed both police and firefighters from time to time, Ashland has not done so because we've generally made a commitment to public safety and protecting our citizenry.
Gunderson says the newly hired firefighters won't be going on fire runs until they complete extensive training.
The National Forest Service has proposed allowing more commercial logging in the Daniel Boone National Forest than it has in over a decade. The logging would take place on more than 3,500 acres in Pulaski and McCreary counties. It would be part of a project that also includes controlled burns and other activities on about 15,000 acres. The so-called Greenwood Project is designed to better manage the forest by improving wildlife habitat and forest health, and would take several years to complete. Tim Reed is the district ranger for the area. He says the Forest Service will consider public comments and do an environmental assessment before it releases a draft decision on work to be done on the project. He says trees will need to be removed whether they are sold for timber or not.
The finishing touches are being put on a $5 million renovation of Ashland's historic Putnam Stadium, and they're not coming a moment too soon for City Commissioner Marty Goot. He's also a coach for the Ashland Blazer High School football team, which opens its new season at home this Friday night.
Actually just putting up the two goalposts and the paving on either sidelines and the block work are the major jobs that are being done right now.
Goot says a few projects won't be done by game time, but they'll be completed soon and won't affect the new season. He says some work is still needed on a concession stand that's being built on top of the home locker room. Putnam Stadium dates back to 1937. It was constructed as part of a New Deal program.
The Lewis County Fiscal Court has rejected a bid for the Blue Way project. MSPR's Noah Hughes has that story.
The court received only one bid for the project. Tram Construction had said it would do the work for about $219,000. The effort involves installing access for swimming, boating, hiking, and fishing along two areas of Kinnikonic Creek. The properties were donated to the county by FEMA. According to the Ledger Independent, Judge Executive Todd Ruckel believes the bid is too high and the county wants to give other companies a chance to submit bids for the project. The project is being paid for by the State Department of Local Government Recreational Trails Division and Lewis County. Construction will not begin until next spring. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Noah Hughes.
Ashland City Commissioner Larry Brown says when the new public port of South Point, Ohio opens for business in September, it should help all the tri-state communities along the Ohio River. The port is designed to give manufacturers in the region a greater capability to produce and move large fabricated items along the waterway. Brown says there are always spillover benefits when there's economic progress in one area of cities along the river.
Of course there is, but you know, whatever happens, a good example is the Frisch's in Arlington right now. That's good for the city of Ashland as well. It's good for our communities.
South Point's new port will be dedicated during an official ceremony at its industrial park tomorrow, but won't open until next month. Ohio's Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor will speak at Tuesday's dedication.
It's not too late to comment on proposed improvements to State Route 7 in Elliott and Morgan counties. The story from MSPR's Braxton Howard.
District 9 Transportation Spokesman Alan Blair says people can still express their views online or on paper concerning the 10-mile stretch between the southern Sandy Hook city limits and the Kentucky 711 intersection at Wrigley. Blair says an online survey will be available through August 30th at the website www.surveymonkey.com/s/rebuildroute7. He says comments can also be made on the Transportation's Cabinet's District 9 Facebook page, or you can write the Department of Highway in care of the Flemingsburg office. The project is still in the early design phases, says Blair, as engineers are trying to determine the best option for making Kentucky 7 better and safer. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Interest in bicycling is growing rapidly, and cities that become bike-friendly can help their small shops and restaurants. That's the view of the president of the Ashland Bicycle Club. Kent Morrison says cycling in groups is also becoming more popular, and that can have economic benefits for some communities.
Every other Sunday, we ride from Crab School to Huntington, to Pullman Square. And we go to the coffee shop, we go get ice cream, things like that, and vice versa. There's a group from Huntington of riders that come down here to Starbucks and do the same thing.
Morrison says membership in his organization has swelled from 10 years ago to 236 today. He says people are cycling because it's good exercise, good for the environment, and saves money on gas.
And finally, this afternoon, 400 veterans and their dependents have been interred at the Northeast Kentucky Veterans Cemetery since its opening in October 2010. That's according to Jeff Acob, who is the cemetery branch manager for the Kentucky Department of Veterans Affairs. Acob testified in Frankfort last Thursday before House and Senate members of the Veterans Committee.
We have numbers, veterans and family members that actually come from southern Ohio and western West Virginia. Because Kentucky, we don't have a residency requirement as some of the cemeteries, some other states do.
Acob says the carillon at the Greenup County facility will be dedicated August 29th at 11 o'clock in the morning.
And now for the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening area, including the counties of McGoffin, Johnson, and Nicholas. Tonight, mostly cloudy with isolated showers, patchy valley fog, muggy conditions with lows near 66 degrees. Chance of rain is 20%. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, humid conditions outside with highs around 84. Chance of rain is 50%. And for tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows of 67 degrees. Chance of rain is 50%. Currently in Ashland, it's 83 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 80 degrees. It's 73 degrees in Inez. In Lexington and Winchester, it's currently 78 degrees. And right here on the campus of Moorhead State University, it is currently 81 degrees.
It is 4:46. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, and the Emmy goes to Body Maps Transplantation Inside and Out. Karen Czar has the story of the documentary about eight UK healthcare organ recipients who expressed their transplant stories through artwork.
My life changed dramatically as I got sicker and sicker.
I was sick for the first 15 years of my life, just about, or they kept telling me. And being a sick child in intensive care, and every time you doze off and wake up and somebody else's bed's empty, is very frightening.
I was 19 years old. You know, I didn't want to be in there. And I was really scared and confused.
These are the voices of UK healthcare patients who were able to express their experiences of illness and organ transplants through body mapping art therapy. Belgian artist Xavier Verhoest helped participants communicate their stories through pictures, words, and symbols on individual life-sized canvases.
The idea is really to take back people into their own body and create a representation of their lives through a life-size painting. Or we help people to recognize that they have a very, very strong and beautiful treasure inside them.
Filmmaker Thomas Sutherland recorded the workshop, from which came the documentary Body Maps, Transplantation Inside and Out. He called the project a career highlight and credited the eight organ recipients who shared their stories for the film's success. It's gone on to win several awards, including the Ohio Valley Regional Emmy for Best Documentary. Reporting from Lexington, I'm Karen Czar.
It is 4:48. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock. Jared has sports, and he's up right now.
Cats have their man under center. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio this evening, I'm Jared Wesley. The Kentucky Wildcats have named a starting quarterback for 2014. MSPR's Mike Williams has more.
After weeks of observation, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops has named Patrick Toles as the team's signal caller. Stoops made the announcement on his Twitter account earlier today, saying, quote, "This competition has brought out the best in our quarterbacks, and I'm confident in Patrick moving our team forward," end quote. At this point, redshirt freshman Reese Phillips appears to be the team's second-string quarterback. Since the announcement, some speculation has been made that standout freshman quarterback Drew Barker could potentially take a redshirt in 2014. The Cats will open up this year's campaign on August 30th when they entertain UT Martin in Lexington. For Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Mike Williams reporting.
The Kentucky football team held its second major inter-squad scrimmage on Saturday. Head coach Mark Stoops says it was another good effort by the Wildcats, and both sides of the ball had their share of highlights.
We were cleaner today than we have been.
I thought we improved in predictable pass situations. That's the best we've looked as far as drop back passing. So I thought we made some improvement there. Defensively, we did some good things. In particular, the first group really looked solid. We got to continue to find some depth.
Again, the Kentucky football team is 12 days away from its August 30th opener when it hosts UT Martin. Less than 2 weeks away from the Eagles' season opener, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure admits he still has some questions about his team that need answered. Tenure says a lot of key spots on MSU's depth chart are still up for grabs.
We've got a lot of guys competing for positions, and like I said, I feel that we're much deeper on both sides of the ball, really. And then we just have some positions that are just kind of wide open, you know, that maybe didn't fulfill expectations from maybe last year, and we've got to find a more consistent player in that area.
Tenure hopes to get answers to those questions over the next few days. The Eagles open their schedule on August 30th with a game at Richmond. The preseason AP poll for the 2014 and 2015 college football season has been released. Atop the rankings is Florida State, led by Heisman-winning QB Jameis Winston. The rest of the top 10 is mostly dominated by the Southeastern Conference. Alabama comes in at the 2 spot, Auburn sits at number 6, and the South Carolina Gamecocks are also sitting pretty at the 9 spot. AP correspondent Jack Briggs mentions the top 5 teams.
Jameis Winston and defending national champion Florida State are number 1 in the Associated Press preseason college football poll. The second-ranked team is Alabama, and the Crimson Tide, along with third-ranked Oregon and number 4 Oklahoma, received one first-place vote. Rounding out the top 5 is Ohio State. Winston, the Heisman Trophy winner last season as a redshirt freshman, led Florida State to a 34-31 victory against Auburn in the last BCS national championship game.
10 teams since 1950 have finished the season ranked number 1 after starting out that way in the preseason. Coincidentally, FSU did it in 93 and in 99. Fresh off its EKC Gridorama scrimmage with Lewis County, the Rowan County football team is now pointing toward its season opener. The Vikings face Clark County on Saturday in the Recreation Bowl in Mount Sterling. After some miscues by his offensive line in the scrimmage against Lewis, Coach Ray Graham plans to do some work with his team's blocking schemes this week.
We had to make an adjustment late in the week with our center, and he really hadn't played much center, so we didn't really understand our rules up there. That cost us a few times not knowing who to block there several times. We did quite well moving the ball in spite of the assignments that we were missing.
Graham says he and his staff are still working to make sure all of Rowan players are in the right positions where they best help the Vikings this fall. The Cincinnati Reds are on the road tonight to take on the Cardinals at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Mike Leake will get the start on the hill tonight for the Redlegs. Brian Price's ball club is looking to bounce back after a disheartening doubleheader sweep last night in Colorado. Leake is currently working with a 3.59 ERA and will attempt to improve on his record of 9 wins and 11 losses. Since he is 61-63 on the season, they are 8.5 games back of first-place Milwaukee in the NL Central. They are 4.5 games back in the wild card. One more quick note, Brandon Phillips has been reactivated after spending some time on the DL. The second baseman will start tonight. There was one afternoon game today in the majors. The Cubs beat the Mets 4-1 in New York. The Legends also have a game tonight. They take on the Delmarva Shorebirds at 7:05 at Whitaker Bank Ballpark in Lexington. The Kentucky basketball team is headed home after completing an 8-day exhibition tour of the Bahamas. Thanks to yesterday's 63-62 loss to the Dominican Republic, the Wildcats ended their visit to the islands with a 5-1 record. They didn't play particularly well Sunday, blowing a 7-point halftime lead, getting out-rebounded 38-34, and shooting less than 40% from the field. Coach John Calipari says the tired Cats simply ran out of gas.
This was the first game where we had guys, you know, without, you know, no competitive spirit, but it's easy to say 6 games in 8 days. You know, it was a tough run.
Tyler Ulis led UK with 12 points Sunday, with Derek Willis and Carl Anthony Towns each chipping in with 10 points. Finally tonight, the Kentucky basketball team will play Alabama and Missouri twice in the first month of an 18-game SEC schedule that concludes against the Florida Gators on March the 7th. The Wildcats' first SEC game at Rupp Arena will be its only game against Mississippi and will take place January the 6th. They'll also host Vanderbilt at Rupp Arena on January the 20th, Auburn on February the 21st, and Arkansas on February the 28th. UK will also face four teams on the road that they will only meet once this season. The Wildcats visit Texas A&M on January the 10th, rival Tennessee on February the 17th, and Mississippi State on February the 25th. The rest of the Cats' SEC schedule includes games against South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida twice this season. That will do it for sports tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
And mothers.
Sarah Tracy studies family communication at Arizona State University.
When we think about men who follow their wives or females, we call them unemployed.
Tracy says that has a way of coming up in social settings, like questions at parties.
Who are you?
Assumptions that he must be lazy or make less money.
And so they're asked to account. And those little ways of having to explain all of the time can get exhausting and also can be identity threatening.
Shadow's ready for his dinner.
Being the trailing spouse has been hard for Barry Sparkman, too. On a summer Sunday afternoon, he and his partner Dan Childers are at home with their dogs in central Phoenix. Dan is an ecologist, a professor. Barry is an artist, a painter.
Any of the pieces that you see in this house could leave the door if somebody writes the right check.
Dan is clearly proud of Barry's abstract paintings that decorate the walls, but it's been Dan's successful academic career that's paid the bills and made the couple
16.67 at 1971.73, and the NASDAQ composite, as mentioned, at its highest level since March 2000, finishing up 43.39 at 4508.31. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 24-6 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Dollar General jumped after the discount retailer offered just under $9 billion for Family Dollar stores, challenging a bid from Dollar Tree. And Monster Beverage fell after Jefferies downgraded the stock to hold from buy. Shares of Urban Outfitters advanced ahead of the retailer's earnings, which are going to be released today after the close. Sensata Technologies Holdings said it would pay $1 billion to acquire the Schrader Group of companies, while Ingersoll Rand said it would purchase Cameron International's centrifugal compression business for $850 million. And the National Association of Home Builders reported its monthly index of confidence among those building single-family homes rose 2 points to finish at 55, and that did come in better than expected. Crude oil futures for September delivery fell 94 cents to finish at $96.41 a barrel, while gold futures for December delivery dropped $6.90 to finish at $1,299.30 an ounce. The dollar gained against the currencies of major U.S. trading partners, and the 10-year Treasury note, which is, of course, used to figure mortgage rates and other consumer loans, rose 5 basis points to finish at 2.39%. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.53 at $106.29, CSX up 42 cents at $30.64, AEP up 6 cents at $51.48, AK Steel up 77 cents at $10.36, Marathon Petroleum up $1.49 at $90.07, and Community Trust Bank was up 70 cents to finish at $35.51. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And now for a second look at the weather forecast for the Morehead State Public Radio listening area. Tonight, mostly cloudy with isolated showers, patchy valley fog, muggy with lows near 66, chance of rain 20%. Tuesday, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, humid with highs around 84, chance of rain is 50%. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows of 67, chance of rain 50%. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs of 89 degrees, chance of rain is 50%. Currently in Ashland, it's 83 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 80 degrees. In Inez, it's 73 degrees. It's 78 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. And here on the campus of Morehead State, it's 81 degrees.
Don't forget Good Vibes with Tony Hobbs tonight at 7 o'clock. And, of course, it's All Things Considered at 5. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Jordan Simonson, Samantha Morrill, Noah Hughes, Braxton Howard, and Karen Czar did our feature this afternoon. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Joshua Grandison and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.